We're talking with Bob Fitrakis of the Free Press. He's been out in Ohio working this important breaking story about John Kerry's recent new level of interest in the 2004 presidential race. Mr. Fitrakis, can you explain for our listeners what is happening? Bring us up to date on recent developments.
Well, John Kerry, and I was on a phone conversation with him a week ago Sunday, realizes that some of the results in Ohio are a bit odd. He also mentioned New Mexico as well with OptiScanners. What the concern with Mr. Kerry is, under Ohio law, the recount requires a random sampling of 3% of the ballots. Random means that everyone, of course, has equal chance of inclusion, and then they're recounted by machine, whatever machine they were on, punch card, e-voting, OptiScan. What has been happening in Ohio, and this is what upset the Green Party and the Libertarian Party, is they would select the 3% of the votes to count, and then they would call the private vendors like Triad that does 41 counties, or Diebold, which runs the OptiScans in Lucas County where Toledo is, and then would reprogram the computers for the recount, which is the exact opposite of random.
Connecticut Secretary of State Susan Bisewitz has issued her request for bids for electronic voting machines. These machines will be purchased fairly quickly. They're on a fast deadline, it seems. They'll be meeting with corporations as early as January 11th. So while you are frantically trying to get attention for voting irregularities and ongoing developments in Ohio, Connecticut's Secretary of State will be looking at contracts with voting machine companies. Do you have any advice for her office?
Well, you know, it seems really odd to me. Are these machines going to have a verifiable voter ballot trail or a paper trail that can be audited? It seems ridiculous to me that we would be so reliant on private vendors, particularly vendors who have proprietary secret software. Nowhere else in the democratic world do you have private vendors, large corporations that usually favor one party, the Republican Party or the sitting president, and they're essentially, you've outsourced or privatized the people's vote counting. So I would not accept any machine where the software is proprietary, it's secret and non-transparent. And I would make sure that I would not have any machine that didn't have an independent, verifiable audit ballot trail.
Now, the state of Connecticut had a disappointed group of people at Voter, which is available at voterct.org, where they had reached unanimous consensus within the legislature here in Connecticut that a voter-verified paper trail audit is essential to the vote. Unfortunately, Legislative Bill 388 was then shut down by the concerns from Senator Christopher Dodd's office that the legislation would violate the rights of the disabled under ADA, Americans with Disabilities Act.
That's very silly. We had that same thing in Ohio. How would that violate any rights, and you could, in fact, accommodate that. These things are so strange. I mean, if people can't figure out, my dad was a Teamster, and when the, you know, people with names like Vinnie the Weasel came in and grabbed the ballot box and shredded every ounce of paper and then came out and told you who won, people knew it was corrupt in the old Teamster Union. Essentially, now that private corporations do it with no paper trail, it's perfectly acceptable. Take Diebold, for example. Every machine Diebold makes, or an ATM maker in the world, has a separate audit paper trail. The only one that doesn't is their voting machine. It's faith-based voting. It's ridiculous. It violates any notion of transparency. You could easily accommodate, and there's many machines that could accommodate people that are handicapped. You could easily take an audio read, there's plenty of these, and have them put it in their ear and read back the ballot to them. Also, people need to know the National Federation of the Blind that is pushing that position got a $1 million grant from Diebold. And when I asked them about it, why they favored the Diebold machine, say, in Ohio, they said their machines were more robust. I went through six machines, four that had paper trails, and they were virtually identical, and there was no known robustness factor. Is that people really need to realize that this whole notion of the handicap is easily dealt with. And what you're really doing is privatizing voting to large corporations, and this is the end of democracy if we allow these secret softwares with their secret source codes to privately count our votes.
Now, the Secretary's office has actually invited residents, voters of the state of Connecticut to participate in the selection process, and voters will be allowed to score the bids from companies in ongoing, you know, public discussions that are as yet unclear in how they're going to be held or how the public will be informed. But this is a process that's just underway. It's almost a vote within a vote. We are voting here on which corporations to select. And it's not something that people are very yet aware of in the state of Connecticut. Perhaps you can sort of use your imagination as to what might unfold in the very short period of time that Connecticut now has to purchase these machines, as on the one hand, voting rights activists go over past failures with the Secretary's office, and on the other hand, a relatively uninformed public must learn all of the details on this system and on electoral processes very, very quickly.
Well, one of the things people in Connecticut need to realize is that in Canada, including Toronto, they count everything by paper, as they do in Switzerland and the UK. And when I was an international voting observer in El Salvador, we counted things very quickly in very large districts, all on paper. And that transparency is the key. And that this is really a multi-million-dollar business. And it's a very dangerous business. No one really knows. I mean, this is in Ohio. People, we have numerous examples of sworn affidavits where people pushed buttons for Kerry in certain counties, and it ended up jumping the bush. There's ways to set. These are computers. What you program them for is what you get out of them. The default, if it's set the bush, is going to jump the bush. In Gahanna Ward 1B, 638 people cast votes, and President Bush got 4,258 votes. But there's no way to figure out who programmed that in because there's no paper trail. And the companies will then say, well, that's secret. We can't reveal our secret software, which multiplies votes from 638 voters, and then you end up with 4,258 votes for the president. This is very, very dangerous and needs absolutely transparent. And people need to ask the key question is, why doesn't a nonpartisan public entity with transparent software, why isn't that in charge of counting our votes in a democracy?
Can you comment finally again on the subpoenas that have been sent to the Secretary of State of Ohio? And also comment, if you will, please, on depositions that are supposed to be going on in Washington, D.C., President George Bush, Vice President Richard Cheney, and White House political advisor Karl Rove had received notice to be deposed Tuesday and Wednesday.
Well, Secretary of State Blackwell got his notice to be deposed, and he's the co-chair of the Bush-Cheney Reelection Committee for 2004. And he essentially, through the Attorney General's office, has said that that's harassment. So even though we have a legal case, a legal challenge before the Ohio Supreme Court, the Attorney General says he refuses to be put under oath. What people have to ask themselves, when high-ranking public officials like that, the person in charge of the vote, who also was working as the Bush-Cheney co-chair in the state of Ohio, and did a variety of things, say that your provisional vote won't be counted unless you're in the right precinct, and then was responsible for precinct consolidation and reversing, a couple decades of being able to cast a provisional vote in the right county. People have to wonder, why is the Secretary of State in Ohio ducking a deposition, and why doesn't he want to be put under oath? As for, you know, we've noticed the president, the vice president, and Mr. Rove, we've got a variety of questions as to what went on here in Ohio. I mean, quite frankly, their numbers of what they claim. I mean, there's this myth that there was this huge, massive mobilization of morality voters throughout Ohio who came flooding out. The problem is none of the local observed evidence, the local reporters, recall this huge outpouring. I mean, they're claiming that 98.55% of the people in Miami County, in this rural county in Southwest Concord precinct, came out to vote. That is all but 10 people. We, after a quick canvassing at the Free Press, found 25 people that said they didn't vote. Their numbers, if people look closely at the numbers in Warren County, where they closed down the county under Homeland Security and secretly counted the ballots, their numbers and their voter turnout numbers really don't hold up in Ohio. It's almost as if either by accident or design, by, again, computer glitch or malfunction, or deliberately, something went wrong with the computers. Either somebody hacked that vote, and again, I'd refer you to the cover of Popular Mechanics and Popular Science for November, or there was a massive computer glitch. But these numbers make no sense. They're claiming in Cuyahoga, where 97.5% of an African-American district was voting for Kerry, there's only 7.1% turnout. But in Miami County, they're claiming 98.55% of the people voted in this rural county for Bush, although we've already found 25 people that said they didn't vote. And by their numbers, all but 10 would not have voted. So these numbers are very, very improbable, unlikely, and were either the result of accident, error, or deliberate fraud.
The New York Times has recently provided readers with an editorial on the vote, and it really may have raised the interest level of readers. Comment on new levels of interest on the part of the media.
Well, you know, we had been dealing early on. The New York Times ran a front page article when, saying that anyone who was questioning it were conspiracy theorists. But we worked directly with the Times and provided them a lot of information, as we did with the Washington Post. And I think stuff that we said early on, for example, that the machines had been shorted in the inner city districts that voted more than 80% Kerry in Franklin County, all turned out to be true. And I think any time somebody looks at these numbers, when you got a machine in Mahoning County recording a minus 25 million votes in the election, and it's in a Democratic district, which should have went 70-30 for Kerry, or when all the opti scans are going bad in Toledo in the heavily Democratic districts, and four people now have to resign on the Board of Election. Or even scarier, when Miami County says 100% of the vote has reported and then 19,000 additional votes come in and they're claiming 98.55% voter turnout in certain precincts and 94% voter turnout, I think the New York Times realizes that there's a tremendous amount of problem with private companies controlling these machines with secret software, and that there is a danger to democracy in our republic. And I think their editorial hit on that, and we need to be incredibly vigilant because people have always cheated in elections, whether it was in, high school prom or sixth grade class president or, the Giancana machine in Chicago or the Long family in Louisiana or the Tammany Hall. What you got to do is create a system where it's transparent and virtually impossible to cheat, not a secret private system that no one gets to look inside and see what's happening in these magical black boxes and in these computerized voting machines.
We've interviewed Avi Silverschatz of Yale University, and we'll be providing audio of that interview in this program. And I wanted to ask you, he has said that no vote cast without a verified paper trail ballot, a voter-verified paper trail ballot, is able to be verified through recount or other measures.
Sure.
What percentage of the votes cast in the state you're looking at most closely, and that would be Ohio, what percentage of votes there was cast on electronic voting machines without a voter-verified paper trail?
Well, 14.6, but I would go beyond that. I would go to the fact that even of greater concern in some cases, as you adopt the old systems like punch card, which we use 70% in Ohio, and the OptiScans, is that they have these central tabulators with private software from these partisan Republican firms. And what they then tend to do, it essentially, their central tabulators in these rural counties tend to be nothing more than a PC running Windows, where it takes all of 90 seconds, as Bev Harris showed Howard Dean, to simply migrate 15,000 votes from Kerry to Bush. So it'll be even more difficult once you get a computer. You know, we want to impound these central tabulators and go over them because we think we can find out what happened. But if you design machines which can't be audited and essentially have faith-based voting on private company machines, the professor is obviously right, as is Professor David Dill at Stanford, as is, you know, popular science and popular mechanics. Everyone in the world of computer science and security knows this to be true. So I don't understand why they're rushing this through in Connecticut. I'd just like to remind people that what is at stake here is democracy, and what we need is transparency. We have to verify the vote. We have to audit the vote. We have to have real recounts, or democracy cannot be verified.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.